Praise God. Well, good afternoon, everybody. Greetings in the mighty name of Jesus. Amazing family of God, the fellowship of the saints. So honored and privileged to be with you again. We highly appreciate Pastor John, his wife, the ministry, the leadership, your church. Actually, I have fond love towards the South Koreans. You know, it's a long story, but when we were still in Bulgaria ministering, we received a guy who was a missionary in Turkey, and then he came to Bulgaria, came to our city, stood with us in our house, and he was a missionary from South Korea. And the fire, the passion, the devotion just made us, you know, like the English translation floored us. Just we just fell on our faces because he was a carrier of the glory and the presence of God. And then we started going to Turkey in the house of prayer in Istanbul. And when I go there, I see most of the people, most of the prayer teams consists of South Koreans. And I got jealous because I was like, man, we have a greater history. You know, Paul was working in Bulgaria, Macedonia, these regions. You know, we have a tremendous background of Christian history. And I see that these people are advancing and overtaking the world. You know, so I realized I went to do some study because I wanted to know why these South Korean people are advancing so much in the Lord. And then I realized that after the war, you know, I may be wrong, but I read it in some articles, you know. But after the war, missionaries started coming to South Korea. And the South Koreans, they said yes to the Lord. Yes to the, they didn't reject it, didn't fight against it, didn't hold on to their traditions and their culture. They said yes to the Lord. And that's the most important thing still till today for all His people. The most important thing for men is to know how to say yes to the Lord when the Lord comes. Absolutely amazing. I want to invite my wife. Just she wants to share a little bit about the ministry, because you love the nations, you love missions. Maybe you will be interested to know what God is doing with our ministry currently.
Hello, precious people. Just a few words, very briefly, update of our ministry. The good news is that last month we received our green cards. Which was like a 7-year process to become a lawful resident of the United States. The good news about that is that we are now allowed to travel back to Bulgaria, to Europe, and anywhere in the world, which our hearts are very much drawn to that. So, another thing, of course, we know that Pastor John with the team is in Jordan, and we also have a heart for the Muslim world. We live in, we're Bulgarians, so we're from that part of the world. Surrounding countries are Turkey, Greece, Albania, Macedonia, with a big Muslim population. In Bulgaria, we also have a Muslim minority. And maybe, as you know, we have a school in Bulgarian language. We started it 5 years ago during the pandemic. God gave us the name of the school, which is the Glorious Gospel School, because the gospel is glorious, right? And this year, we just started our fifth year on the row with 320 students in year 1, 2, and 3, and 35 pastors. Many of them are gypsies or with Turkish origin, former Muslims. And they're working in cities and towns in the mountains in Bulgaria with predominant Muslim population. So when we go back to Bulgaria, we are planning to spend next summer, actually, like 4 months in Bulgaria, and to minister, to go to Turkey, of course, to surrounding countries, to minister and do conferences, seminars, and all this, because we have like 35 churches, the pastors who are in our school, or they finish our school, so they are trained by us, and we keep a very good connection with them, so they, of course, invite us for doing conferences and all that. So we're very excited that we will be able to travel, to invest even more, because now what we do is online only, but to meet them in person and just to invest the glorious gospel to reach this Muslim population and just transform, because that's what the gospel do. The gospel transforms lives, right? So thank you very much for having us. We love you. We actually feel like family with this church. And thank you for cherishing us and loving us too. Many blessings.
Amen. Amen. Thank you all. Praise God. Praise God. Oh, the joy of the Lord. Being partakers and laborers with him, not with the dream team. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. We have also tremendous healings and miracles in the school. People being healed of cancer, at the brink of their life, like dying and stuff like that. Jesus just resurrecting them. Amazing. I don't have time to tell much about that, but just wanted to mention that when you preach the gospel, the Bible says the gospel is God's power unto salvation. And that salvation continues. It doesn't begin just you being converted and becoming part of light and the kingdom of God. No, it continues to unfold the power of God's salvation into your life for each and every part of your body, of your soul, of your being. I mean, spirit, soul, and body, and every area of your life you are involved. God brings salvation to your relatives, to your children, to your, co-workers, co-citizens. Amen. Everywhere you go, you carry that power unto salvation with you. So good, praise God. Both our fathers, me and Albana's fathers, they were atheists. My father was a great sinner. Albana's father was an atheist, communist. You know, they didn't believe God. And the greatest victories of our lives was not just someone being healed of cancer and resurrected from the dead. The greatest victory was my and Albana's father got converted and got saved. Although they resisted so much, you know, with their natural minds, that's the God's power unto salvation reached out and went further than our lives. Not just with preaching, but with this love, with this grace and this influence and power God carries in His words. Amen. Well, I have a message for you, precious people, and I really, my earnest desire is to bless you, to stir you up and bring like a fresh, rejuvenation, like refreshing you and strengthening you, because these are difficult times we're living, you know. Maybe they have always been, but I don't think so, but even Paul said that these times will be difficult for us. We will face a lot of challenges. And you know, we need to be strengthened in the spirit so we may overcome the world. See, Jesus promised the gates of hell shall not prevail over His church. And He also promised that be in a good cheer, because every challenge in the world you face, I have already overcome that challenge. So we have a good leader. We have a good captain who knows the strategies, who knows the plans, who knows everything, how to make His army and His church overcoming. The Song of Songs describes the church as an army, terrifying army carrying banners, which means victory, triumphing, not timid, not going back, but advancing and overcoming the world. Praise God. So I want to speak on the power of the Holy Spirit, the moving power and force of the Holy Spirit. And want to give you a scripture to start with. How important is for the Christian to learn to give priority to the Holy Spirit. Okay? Because we are not left on our own understanding, on our own knowledge, experience, theology, understanding as good as they are. Jesus said, I will not leave you alone. I will send you the helper, the comforter in the face of the Holy Spirit. And when he comes, he will take from what is mine and will give it to you. All I have is coming from the Father. Jesus says, actually, the whole Trinity will be imparted into your life in the face of the Holy Spirit. He goes, all I have, all the Father has, also I have it. He has given it to me. And when the Holy Spirit comes, he will take from what is mine and give it to you. How wonderful is to have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit in the face of the Holy Spirit presented and given to you. Absolutely amazing. And then he says, and he will glorify me. Oh, praise God. The Spirit will glorify the victory of Jesus, the finished work of Jesus, everything he accomplished. The Spirit will give credit to the current status of Jesus. Jesus is Lord of Lords and King of Kings. And when he comes into your life, he takes from the treasures, the fathomless treasures of Christ and his glory, and delivers unto you and into you, and you become more than a conqueror, because what he gives you actually is taken from Jesus. This is the blueprint. This is the hallmark, you know, of your life. It is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Praise God. Okay, let's go to the book of Genesis chapter 1. And listen what the Bible says. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. Okay, that doesn't sound and doesn't look pretty good, right? I mean, sometimes we are found stuck exactly in this description, okay? In our lives, darkness may fall, void, you know, emptiness, and formless. Okay, you are confused, you don't know what to do, and you're in a bad position or in a bad situation. I've been there many times, you know. But guess what? The Bible doesn't stop there. The Bible says then, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. The New King James says, was hovering over the face of the waters. Hey, why I'm sharing this? Listen, folks, God decided in the most important book, the book of the beginnings, the book of the introductions. You know, when I got saved, I was saved in a miraculous way. It's a sign and wonder, because there were no churches, there was no radio station, no TV program, no evangelist, no evangelical meeting in Bulgaria during the communism, 1986. I didn't know anything about God, but I knew that man is created for something more than what the communists were teaching us, okay? And I was eager to know and to learn about the meaning of life and the human life. And someone told me that he read a Bible, portion of the Bible, which belonged to his grandmother, that about the meaning of life, the end of the world, and he kindled the fire for me, the desire to find the Bible and to read it, okay? And I started seeking for a Bible, and no Bibles available in Bulgaria. Yes, they destroyed everything related to Christianity. I mean, the evil powers of these evil forces in the face of communism, okay? They hated God and they were killing Christians and stuff like that. So I was trying to find a Bible, but no Bibles available. And miraculously, long story short, one day I was invited by a far relative, an aunt of someone, you know, in the family. I went to help her, and in her kitchen I saw a huge brown book beneath the window, grabbed it, opened it just of curiosity, and I saw the title, Holy Scriptures, the Bible, and I was shaking because, I was seeking for 6 months and now I'm holding this precious book. And she came in the kitchen, she saw me staring at the book and she said, I used to go to a Pentecostal church when I was young. Then the communists took power. They burned the books. They burned the Bibles. They put the pastor in prison camp and took our building from us. But I was able to keep that Bible. I was 10 or 15 years old, 12 years, something like that. They were not interested of me because I was too young. I kept that Bible all of my life. If you're interested, you can have it. Whoo, praise God. Guess what was my answer? Are you kidding me? I'm looking for a Bible for 6 months. This is a miracle. Grabbed that book, went back home, started reading from the beginning. Because no one beside me to teach me, you should start with the book of John. Okay, Gospel of John. But God is not stupid. I mean, God is wise, all wise. He knows how to write books, okay? Started reading. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Boom. I realized I found the Creator responsible for everything around me and for me. And I realized I found the person responsible for my existence. And that He will tell me even more about the meaning of my life and everything I was created. Praise God. Such a wonderful beginning. But my point is, if God gave such an important position and priority of the Holy Spirit in the book of the beginnings, in the very beginning, He is introducing the first active force. Although the Holy Spirit is not a force, He has force, but He is not just a force, amen? We know that He is a person. We like to ask the Spirit to come on portions, but the Spirit doesn't come on portions. The Spirit comes as a person, praise God. He will give you a portion, definitely, but He comes as a person. But if God decided in His own story, in His own creation, in His own activity, and introducing Himself on the scene of our fallen world, praise God, to give such a high priority to the Holy Spirit, because the Bible could have gone like, and God did that, and God, but the first thing He decided to start with was the Holy Spirit. I bow down because the same Spirit who did brought such a tremendous difference in the former world, today you are the new creation, the Bible says. You are the new world He is creating. Oh, out of the darkness, the void, the voidness, and the emptiness of the fallen creature, the Holy Spirit comes in you and brings new life and brings new perspectives and activities and everything, and you start blossoming and flourishing under the great plan of salvation of the mighty God. Praise God. You see, You see, well, it's very easy to read the Bible, but we need to understand that God is introducing the Holy Spirit on a purpose to show us how much more we should give Him priority when we face challenges and difficulties. And I will teach you and give you some stories because it's a principle thing. It's a principle thing. You see, it's all over the Bible. So I have a sentence for you. Things start changing when the Spirit gets moving. Absolutely amazing that the Bible describes the Holy Spirit as a moving force. That's the first description. That's the first impression God gives when He is presenting and introducing the Holy Spirit to you. It's a moving force bringing life. Actually, the Hebrew word for moving, it's a powerful word. It means in several places in the Old Testament, the same word is found and means to stir up. Okay, as the eagle is stirring up its nest. Or also means shaking, to shake. Because Jeremiah is using the same word used in Genesis for describing the shaking of his bones because of the power of the Holy Spirit. And you know, sometimes we shake in our bodies and people from the world, they go like thinking that we are nuts, you know, and strange people and stuff like that. I'm not recommending or promoting manifestations, you know, but I'm promoting the power of the Holy Spirit. And you know that when you plug into the electricity, it will bring some effect on your body and you will respond to that, okay? So how much more greater is the power of the Holy Spirit who created the sun and the galaxies and everything around us and coming to dwell in us and with us? Definitely He can bring some shaking. Which is, I mean, His power is beyond electricity. His power is beyond our body can, sustain or endure. Praise God. Oh, thank you, Jesus. You see, so the point is not just moving like a wind, but also brooding. The New King James says brooding over the face of the world, which means energizing or charging up, releasing life, releasing transformation power into the matter of this world, into the atoms and everything we are created, you know, and consist of. The Spirit of the Lord was brooding, energizing and charging up and bringing new activity and life into this deadness. Of lackness of life. That's how everything started. And it's a good beginning, it's a good teaching and a good lesson for me and for you. And you know, I've learned my lesson. I've learned for when I came to the United States, you know, we faced so many different challenges from what we had in Bulgaria. You know, now everything is new, everything is different, everything. I was deprived of my identity, if I can say. I was a pastor, famous pastor in Bulgaria, very active, you know, and influential and stuff like that. And when I came as nobody. I didn't have a status, I didn't have a driving license, nobody knows about me, you know. In some Christian circles, yes and amen. But the Lord became my main identity, my main driving force of overcoming the giants, The Lord told me, today you are entering into this land and you will overcome greater people than you, greater challenges, praise God. And I've learned my lesson. You see, it's very simple, precious people. Every time you get stuck into a situation or environment or things like described in the book of Genesis, without form, darkness and stuff like that, the Lord doesn't scratch his head saying, man, doesn't look good. No, he sends his Holy Spirit immediately. He is unstoppable power, unstoppable force, which has the power to overcome every kind of challenge, you know, which is presented against him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So what's the key? What's the principle? The principle is this. Could be a diagnosis. You go to the doctor and darkness fall in the face of this diagnosis, you know, delivered to you. And your natural mind is crippled by fear, because when you see with your natural understanding and experience and knowledge, you connect the dots that what they presented to you is invincible. I mean, human power is not able to overcome it. And then fear cripples your heart. You don't know what to do. But let me tell you, we are not like them. We are in a different class of people, different department. We are God's people. And God's people are famous in the Bible like being moved by the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's not the end. The world and whatever the world is trying to put on you is not the end of your story. The end of your story, and the Spirit of the Lord moved upon the face of my heart, my life, and my mind, and revelation and understanding. Whoo, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. How wonderful is to be able to be beyond human, I mean supernatural. All the rest of the godless people, they are natural men. Paul describes them like soulish, like natural. But he describes the born-again Christian as supernatural, heavenly, like beyond the limitations of what the flesh and the body and the natural mind can accomplish. Thank you, Jesus, in the power of this Spirit. Hallelujah. The book of Acts 20:22, Paul says, and see, now I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies in every city, saying that chains and tribulations await me. Listen to this now. But none of these things move me. Nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy. Oh, how amazing are these scriptures. From one point, the picture is sorrows, chains, you know, captivity, and all kind of things like that. But Paul says that in his life, there is a greater force in control. None of these outer things moved me. But what? I'm giving myself to the force and to the power of the Holy Spirit, and I will be able to finish the course of my life and my ministry with joy. Whoo, how wonderful is that? And the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. And I'm telling you, this is not reserved only for Paul. Paul wrote these things for your and mine sake, so we may be encouraged, empowered, and strengthened to go, because the same Spirit who was with him is with you. And I'm telling you, the Spirit has specific things, plans of God for your life, for you to accomplish. He doesn't want the enemy to take control and to finish victoriously, overcoming over everything God has planned for you. No, he has the ability to overcome the world and every strategies of the enemy trying to stop you and to prevent you from advancing. Are you ready to get strengthened this afternoon with the apostle, you know, to be bold to say, when you face these challenges, to say, none of these things move me. None of these things will move me, because I am not subject to them. I am subject to the power of the Holy Spirit. I surrender and give myself only to the moving force of the Holy Spirit, so I may finish with joy. And then in another place in the book of Acts, he says, for in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets. Now, you know, some of them have said, in him, in God, we live, we move, and have our existence and being. Wow, we are positioned. We are positioned in his life. We are positioned in Christ. The Bible divides humanity in two main groups. The New Testament divides humanity in two main groups. One of them are the fallen, and they are described as in the first Adam. The second one is described as resurrected from the dead, and they are positioned in Christ. In Christ is the most repeated phrase from the Apostle Paul, describing your new origin, your new status, your new position. How many? The signature of the gospel is in Christ. More than 100 times Paul would repeat, in Christ, in Christ, in Christ. How about the book of Romans? It says, but you Christians, you born again Christians, you are not in the flesh, you are in the Spirit. Well, sometimes we get confused. I absolutely understand, but let me explain where the confusion comes. You are currently born again Christian, a man, a being of two dimensions. Why is like that? Because our redemption is not completed yet. These bodies we obtained and received from the first Adam. When you got born again, nothing happened to your body. When I got born again, next day, I was same color of hair, same height, same color of eyes. Nothing changed in my body. Nobody saw me and like, wow, who are you? No, I was physically the same Mitko. But on the inside, I was changed, transformed. Someone new was living. He was resurrected from the dead. My spirit was circumcised, and God put a new creation in me to live in this body. And you see, Paul says, your true, genuine identity is not the physical. For the godless, it's the physical. For Christians, it's the spiritual. That's your new beginning, to start living your life. Forget about the physical identity and background and stuff like that. Now you possess and you have a deposit from the heart, from the bosom of the Father, right into your heart. And you are born of him, and he dare to declare that those who believe in him, he gave the right to become sons and daughters, children of the Most High God. And Paul dared to declare that the one who is born of God is also heir and co-heir with Jesus and heir with God. everything God has, actually, you have the real access and right to partake. Why? Because you partake, Peter says, in the nature. Partakers of the divine nature. Not with the body, but with your spirit, of which the body knows nothing. And that's where the controversial challenge comes always, because we're people of two dimensions and things happen on the outside, but we possess things also on the inside. And Paul says that there is a clash, there is a struggle between the spirit and the flesh, but the spirit is stronger. The flesh is weak, Jesus says, but the spirit is willing and strong and powerful, praise God. And you can overcome the outward challenges by knowing who you are and practicing that you are not gonna be moved by those things, because you are moved and appointed to be moved by the power of the Holy Spirit. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Do you remember Ezekiel 37? That awesome story of great vision. You know, the prophet was brought in the spirit. He was translated in the spirit, in a vision, in a trance, into a huge valley, huge field, all covered with dead bones. Okay, and the prophet was overwhelmed by the vision, because he said, boy, and they were many, 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 and they were very dry. Now, what is the Bible trying to tell us by very dry? I will tell you what. Beyond hope. Beyond hope of restoration. Very dry means decayed and expired. But that's the platform on which God likes to step, as in the book of Genesis. He doesn't step in a nice environment, everything nice, everything beautiful, and he's praising his majesty in that atmosphere. No, he steps on in a sphere of darkness and gloom and doom and stuff like that, to teach us that he is the God of transformation, new life and new beginning. And the prophet goes like, and he's overwhelmed, very dry and many. And the Bible, you remember at that place comes this verse, Abraham without hope believed in hope. Now, do you see the controversial clash? Without hope, believed in hope. Without hope on that side, believed in hope on the other side. How happened? Because he received a revelation, a point of view, an impartation from above, beyond what he is able and beyond who he was. So he was able to believe in hope in a place where there was no hope. Now, I wanted to be exact and certain that the Bible doesn't say where there was just a little hope, or 10% hope, 1%. No, the Bible says where there was no hope, Abraham stood up and believed, decided to stand and believe in hope because of the one who gave the promise. And with the valley of the dead bones, the prophet doesn't know how to respond, and God comes. What do you think? What's your perspective on those things? But this guy was smart. He learned his lesson. I love Ezekiel. Boys, I love Ezekiel because Ezekiel was in captivity. Ezekiel was a high priest taken captive from the land of Israel, translated in a godless environment, in captivity in Babylon. No praise, no worship, no true, genuine faith in God, nothing like that. But in captivity, in a foreign land, he was able to be translated and experience the most majestic visions ever given to man. Don't just look for every circumstance working for you. You can thrive and prosper even when circumstances are totally against you, to receive one of the greatest manifestations of wisdom and revelation of God's power. And he turns to God and he goes like, "You know, my Lord." That's your lesson. That's your response. Every time they tell you something, people, circumstances, situations, your natural mind, you turn to the Lord and you say, "You know, my Lord, I'm asking you to give me the perspective of heaven, of your own understanding upon this situation. And I will be like Abraham. I will cooperate and I will yield and go with your knowledge, your perspective, and what you think about this situation." Come on, folks. I'm so excited. Praise God. Because people say, Lazarus died. Lazarus expired. Lazarus is done and gone, and he is beyond hope, and he's finished. His story and life, they ended up, you know. This is the end. But Jesus, praise God, he's so wonderful. He's so wonderful. He says, "This sickness is not unto death, but to bring glory to the Lord." The world will tell you, the doctors, God forbid, you know, may tell you, or people can tell you, "You're good for nothing." And then you can stretch up and flex your muscles and say, "Then I am qualified for the work." Because God is not looking for special ones. God is looking for obedient ones, for the yes ones. Ha ha. Yeah. Yeah, people say like, "Oh, it's bad. Lazarus, very bad." Jesus said, "My perspective on the issue is not for death. It is to bring glory to God." And with the blind man, the apostles are asking, according to the Jewish tradition. I have to stay here. I'm very animated. Excuse me. Blame it on the coffee. Hallelujah. Oh, I love you guys. I love Pastor John and Susan. You're amazing. We love you. I don't play great preacher. I just play part of the family. We rejoice together. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And the apostles, they ask Jesus, they see a blind man. According to Jewish tradition, he is born blind. There must be something, a curse from God and rejection upon him, because he doesn't deserve to live like normal human. And they ask, because of whose sin this doom is brought on this wretched man? Jesus turns and he says, "You are asking the wrong question. Not for this someone's sin, or this man sinning, his parents or him, but that the Lord might be glorified." How? Oh, when you are really, really like, "Oh man, it's bad, I'm in trouble," okay, then the Lord comes. And you have to ask him, you know, "My Lord, tell me. I got sickness at one point, you know, struggling with. And at that point, I was still a baby Christian in my understanding. And praise God, I went for a prayer walk, and I asked for help and for knowledge. And the Lord comes and he says, "Who told you you are naked? From whom are you learning those identities for you?" Yeah, I say, "From the world." Okay, I have something else. "Whose report shall you believe?" Praise God. And then Look how God is dealing with this terrible situation, dead bones, no hope, beyond hope. He turns to the prophet and he says, prophesy for the spirit, prophesy for the spirit. Then he turns and faces dead bones, very dry and many. Are you with me? You learn this morning how you turn your face, not your back, but your face with boldness like a lion towards this valley filled of death and dry bones in your life, and declaring the heavenly perspective of new life and change from the Lord. And I obeyed and prophesied, and big transformation came over the bones. There was a rattling, there was a shaking, there was charging up and vibrations, and bone with bone got connected together in tissue and muscles and stuff like that, but still no life in them. And then the Lord said, prophesy for the spirit, prophesy for the wind. And I prophesied for the wind, for the spirit. Come. Whoo. Come, O spirit of the four corners, from every direction, fullness and completeness, come upon these dead bones. And they got filled with the Spirit, got alive, resurrected, and stood up. And the result, I already, from the former, way of looking, very dry, very bad, the Bible describes them like mighty army. Mighty army, ready to conquer. Praise God, when the Holy Spirit comes upon your mind, upon your heart, upon your understanding by spirit of wisdom and revelation, you get charged, you get empowered, you get equipped, you get, clothed with power, you face and you turn and you become as a mighty man, a valor, and everything changes. You are not a victim anymore, you become a victor. Oh, praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Things start changing when the Spirit gets moving. I want to finish with one last story, one of my favorite story. I have many, but some of them are just tremendous impact on my heart. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We're reading the Bible, the holy book of God. I was blown away. I read about Peter being delivered from the prison. And the Bible describes, this is not Peter's story. This is God's story. Because Peter was sleeping. And the Bible describes activity which took place before he got awakened. So who is the author? Since Peter is sleeping, he doesn't know what took place and what happened before he got awake. It's God is the author. The Holy Spirit told Luke what exactly happened in the cell when the angel came to visit Peter. The Bible says, light shone in the cell. And the angel poked Peter on the side. And then he got awoke, which means that former information is presented to the author and to us by God and the Holy Spirit. This is the book we are reading. Absolutely amazing, folks. And listen, my favorite story, Paul and Sila in the prison. Sila. Paul and Sila in the prison. Okay? They are on a mission trip and mission activity, bringing the gospel. Great victory. At one point, the people got through the demonic powers, Paul and Silas taking regional control over the regions, with the gospel. In Macedonia, these demonic powers got so irritated, because they're losing control and they have been kicked out of their dominion and strongholds. So demonic powers, you know, they cannot harm you, they cannot touch you, but only through people working in agreement with them. So they got a bunch of people, you know, to influence, and they did big trouble and harm to Paul and Silas. They beat them up, black and blue, brought them to the prison, told the jailer, you know, the officer, to put them in the most secure place. Are you with me? They were not in the buffet place. They were in the most inner cell of the prison at the bottom. Very well secured. They hands two boards, two wooden planks, you know, with locks, holding their hands like that, and a hole for the neck. So that's a very, how to say, uncomfortable position. And their legs also are in locks and with the same, like a chains and boards, you know, and chain. And their cell is securely locked. And they are in pain. And they are confused. They are kind of a disappointed. Lord, we are your servants. We are doing the right thing. You send us here and we are proclaiming. Why is this happening? Are we not the overcomers? Are we not, you know, these toads coming. They're in a bad place. But you know what? Listen, folks. Things start changing when the Holy Ghost gets moving. Okay? At one point, Paul and Silas, they processed the whole information and then said, you know what? That's not right. We will start praising the Lord. We know this is not the end. That's not from the Lord. We will overcome it. We will get over. And the Bible says, at midnight, the darkest hour, you know, took a while until they process everything, but they have learned how to deal in the spirit. They started praising, worshiping the goodness, the power, and the plans of God for their lives. They started pouring out the Holy Spirit from the inside, outside, from the little amount which was in them, into the emptiness of the need and the challenges they were facing and surrounded with. And you know what, precious people, the Bible says at one point the power of the Spirit was so violent it shook the whole prison. And no, that's not what the Bible says. It shook the foundation of the prison. And that is totally amazes me, because do you know which part of that prison was the strongest, the most solid? The foundation on which the prison was built. God took over the whole building by shaking the foundation. And you know what happened? I have a saying, the prison barely made it. The prison barely made it and remained intact because of the prayers and the praise and worship of two tiny, fragile people in chains. And then the force was so violent that the Bible says every door hang wide open. Every chain, every lock in that prison was open and released. And these are not phony baloney. These are not myths or legends. Because later on, because of what happened, the jailer, the officer got saved. His life was transformed. Which means those things are not myths. You see, learn your lesson. Learn your lesson. Sometimes you are floored. You don't have the slightest idea, thought, courage, emotion, because we like to be in a good mood. Oh, I'm in a mood to praise. Sometimes you don't even have the mood to praise, to work. You are in tears. You are in pain. You don't know. You are confused. That's the right time to start pouring out. Do you remember the widow and Elisha? She went to Elisha. She asks for help. Elisha says, tell me, what do you have? She says, I have nothing. Didn't I tell you? I have nothing. No, no. We need to start with something. Listen to this, folks. You have. Well, I have just an insignificant amount at the bottom of the vessel oil in my house. Boom. That's what I'm talking about. Go back home, take empty vessels, start pouring out. Borrow as many as possible. Then pour it out, then sell it, pay your bill. She goes back, starts pouring out and pouring out. And you know, the story goes like, as long as there were empty vessels, oil was flowing freely and available. And I'm telling you, you go back home, close the door behind you, and from the little jar, come on, folks, the Bible says through Paul, we are jars of clay, but the treasure on the inside is from the Lord, that it might be seen that the power and the glory are from Him. And you start pouring out. Oh, Lord, I don't know much about this situation, but you know. Speak through my mouth. Show me the vision of heaven. Speak through the Holy Spirit. Fill me up. The Bible says the disciples were, this is the Amplified Version, and the disciples were continuously filled with the Holy Spirit and joy. That's not one-time event. Continuously filled with the Holy Spirit and joy. And you start pouring out from this little amount, pouring out into the atmosphere. Then light comes, power comes, equipping comes, God's impartation of revelation comes, and you get transformed, you get equipped. Every lock, every chain, every hindrance, every barrier, they are brought down. The foundation of your prison will be totally shaken and destroyed, and you will receive. You will receive freedom. You will receive new beginning, new life, and new perspective. And you come out clothed with power and glory, overcoming, going back to the world, overcoming. Oh, I want to finish with this last words. Samuel says, because I want to pray for you. Samuel says to King Saul, okay, he anointed him. He appointed him to be king. He sent him back. He appointed two signs to meet him like a confirmation on the road back, on the way back. And he says, then the Holy Spirit will come upon you. Are you with me, precious folks? This is the Bible. Samuel says to Saul, then the Holy Spirit will come upon you. So what? And Samuel says, and you will be turned into another person. Another person. Another person preaches to you today. It's not Mitko. Another person when the Holy Spirit comes upon me. It's another person, not the sick one, not the timid one, not the fearful one, not the guilty one, the shameful one. You will be turned into another person. Then Samuel says, you act and you do what the situation requires. That's I wanted to finish with. The Holy Spirit will come. Until the Holy Spirit doesn't come and doesn't take control, doesn't bring the shaking and the impartation or whatever the situation might require, I'm telling you, you are not done yet to go out of your office, of your closet. No, wait in Jerusalem until you are clothed with the Holy Spirit, Jesus says. Then you are ready to go. Then you are ready to conquer the world. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I want to invite you for prayer. You know, each and every one of us needs a recharging power, you know, and refreshing, anointing and stuff like that. I just want to invite you. I came to serve and minister to you. So whoever needs a prayer and All this impartation we already spoke about. I invite you, let us make a line here. I will lay hands, not my hands, but your hunger, your thirst, your desire will be answered from heaven, and God will give you the promised one. Amen. Praise God.